From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Indeed, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're rejoicing because we've got two wonderful students who have won national competition in the academic decathlon here, along with their coaches. And they're from St. Mary's School and also from Sacred Heart School here in Sacramento, in the Diocese of Sacramento. So I'm going to welcome in the St. Mary coach, Eleanor Lottie.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Did I pronounce your name okay? Thank you. Yes, you did. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. You told me ahead of time, and I had to write it down phonetically.
Very good. Thank you for having me.
I understood why phonetically is spelled with a PH. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. And we have Mary DeRosa, who is also the principal at St. Mary's School. Mary?
Thank you, Bob, for having
us. Did they hire you because your name was Mary?
Yes, Mary from St. Mary.
Yeah, there you go. I always say that Mary is the first daughter in a Catholic family. Certainly was in my family. Yeah. And also, Jonah Mayer is here. He's the winner. Jonah, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations. Mary, Eleanor, we'll start with you.
Okay, Bob.
You're not off the hot seat yet.
Not yet, okay.
So tell us a little bit about this competition. And these are kids who won the diocesan. It's hardly local, but it's, I think...
correct.
38 teams, I think, there were in the diocesan. And then they qualified for the nationals.
Right. So the several schools in the diocese compete in the regional competition, academic decathlon. And the winners of each of the different areas go on to compete then in the national competition. So Jonah won for the individual subject of math.
Wow.
Yes.
He must be smart.
He's very bright. Very smart. Yes.
Very good. Do you teach math there? Or?
I do. I teach algebra to the eighth graders.
Yeah. So what sort of competition, I mean, how do they run the competition?
So the competition...
At the local level first.
At the local level. The competition is laid out the same at the local and the national level. There are three parts to the competition. There are teams that compete. They are composed of 10 students. They first start with an hour-long competition of logic, where they will be thrown any number of logic problems.
Like what? Can you give
Sudoku,
us a for instance?
Kukurus, cryptograms, logic.
Can you speak English?
It takes a while to learn exactly what it is those really require, but the kids are pretty smart and they just dive in and learn how to do them, and it's amazing how they do. And then the top three students win trophies mm-hmm. and medals in, or the top three teams, I should say, at that level, because that's a team competition. Section. Then they move on to the section part. The second part of the competition is the individual tests. Mm-hmm. There are eight subject areas. So eight members of that 10-person team will take an individual test. Mm-hmm. Subjects like math, current events, English, science, social studies, fine arts.
Religion.
Religion is definitely one of them. So eight different subjects, and they have an hour where they will take a 50-question multiple choice mm-hmm. test. And then out of that...
As a group or
They take them individually.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the winners of each of the tests, the eight different areas, will the top three winners get a medal.
And that's pretty crazy competition,
it
too.
Is.
I've been
it
there.
Is.
I've seen it.
Right? And then the third part of the competition, which is what I think the most fun to watch as a spectator, is the super quiz, mm-hmm. where the teams come back together as a group, and they compete against all the different teams. They're asked a series of questions, 50 multiple-choice questions in five different topic areas that they are given the resources to study ahead of time. And so it's 10 questions on each of the different topics. And they work together as a team to determine the answer, and then they are given a limited time, and then they put up a placard with their answer. So that's fun to watch, and then it's stressful to watch as they tally and go. And
there's parents
siblings are there, siblings are there.
Grandparents,
the stands
and
are usually
else, yeah.
crowded with people watching and getting ready to
this
cheer
was at
on
St.
them.
Francis this year?
This year was at St. Francis.
I think of the one I saw was at Jesuit, and it was, it was crazy.
Yes.
I thought they were going to have a basketball game or something, or a volleyball game.
It sounds like it, too. Yeah. When the applause comes, it's almost like they made that basket, that winning basket. Yes.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. So then the national competition, this was live, but national competition is live, but it's on Zoom, right?
Correct. The national competition was virtual. The same three areas of the competition do happen, but they compete virtually. So they're on a computer screen watching as they take their tests or compete in their logic puzzles.
So is the national just individual or is it teams as well?
Teams also.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The team portion does happen. They have to be visual on a screen, the entire team working, as they have proctors in the room, and then there are proctors that are virtually watching from the national team that puts the decathlon together.
I never go on Zoom unless I've got one of my kids there to help me.
Well, that was interesting. The individuals, they had to be on a Zoom call, so they had to have a camera set up so that they could be seen on screen.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were
They weren't texting the answers.
No. Yeah. They had to be able to see their desk, that all they had was their computer on that they were working on.
Very good. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's turn to Jonah. Congratulations, first off.
Thank you.
When you say math is it's all kinds of things. I mean, it's, you know, 5 + 5 or 5 × 5, and then there's algebra and trigonometry and calculus and everything else. So what do you think when you talk about math?
Like on the test.
Yeah.
It was mostly just 7th and 8th grade math.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
which would encompass algebra?
Yeah. Some algebra, a little bit of geometry and trigonometry.
Wow. And which of those is your favorite?
I kind of just like all math.
Yeah. So describe the national competition. What was that like?
I think it was a little bit easier than the regional competition, just having done it once already. So I was a little calmer. In the regional competition, I was really nervous, and it kind of messed me up when I was taking the test. I was so worried, like I wouldn't finish it in time or something. But the second time around, I was more relaxed. And I think that
was it easier doing it on Zoom than in person? I mean, than being in front of a crowd and everything, or was it harder?
I think it's a little harder because just that extra factor of being on Zoom.
So you had 38 other winners from around the country. Could you see them or hear their answers or anything, or were you just sort of in the isolation booth?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. So did you know how you were doing as you went along in the competition?
I don't know my result until after I submit the test. And then.
So was it all written or was it verbal or?
It's online. It's an online test.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I don't find out my result until the award ceremony.
And what? How long is the test?
We have an hour to do it. It's a 50-question test with 5 tiebreaker questions.
And after you finished, how did you think you did?
I was pretty confident. I wasn't sure on like 1 or 2 questions, but
were they multiple choice or were they?
Oh yeah, it's multiple choice.
Yeah. So 4 choices? 5 choices?
5, yeah.
So you get 20% chance right off the bat. Wow. So were you surprised when you got first?
Yeah, I was really happy.
Did it come with a new car or something?
Last year, I had set a goal of winning first place, and I studied really hard to get there, and so I was really happy when I did it.
Did the studying help you? I mean, were there things you studied that if you hadn't studied, you wouldn't have gotten it right?
I had a coach, Miss Brown. She helped me. She taught me a lot of the different concepts that I had to know, and she did a really good job of teaching me all of those. So I was pretty prepared for the competition.
Very good. I remember one time trying to get into graduate school somewhere, you know, and you take this class and you pay all this money and took the exam, and it was just, I should have just, you know, gone out to dinner or something instead of studying, you know. But anyway, so tell us about yourself. What are you interested in besides math?
I play sports.
Uh-huh. What sports?
Currently, I'm playing baseball and volleyball. But I also play soccer and basketball.
Very good. I have a side job covering college baseball on ESPN Plus. And if I just covered games over the weekend, and that's really it's a very complex game.
Yeah.
People that don't play it I don't think understand all the nuances. What position do you play?
I play pitcher and middle infield.
Yeah. What's your best pitch?
Maybe my curve.
Your curveball? You're throwing curveballs already? So you're right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Yeah. You know, there's demand for left-handed pitchers. You might
train my left.
Yeah. Do you, when you're not pitching, do you play a different position in the field?
Shortstop or second base.
Yeah. Usually. I played left out. So, talk about volleyball. That's a great sport too.
Yeah. This is actually my first year playing.
Do you have a favorite spot? I know they rotate you around, but
I'd say hitting is probably the best part.
Yeah. Can you spike yet?
Yeah.
Wow. How tall are you?
5'6".
And you can spike? That's pretty good.
The net's not that tall. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. My son played high school volleyball, just finished last year, and just loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. I got all nervous, especially when he was serving, you know. And you'd see, well, he actually was okay, but, you know, you're it's 20-20, and somebody hits the ball in the net on a serve, and you're going, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody is praying. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, there's two sides. I don't know what God does with that, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fun. So what about high school?
I'm going to Jesuit next year.
Oh, very good. Very good. Do you hope to play baseball there?
Hopefully.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to do math there too?
Yeah, probably. If maybe there's, I think there are high school Acadeca teams.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, maybe I'll try to be a part of that.
And very good.
Yeah.
Have you got a college picked out yet?
No.
Have you thought about college?
No.
No. Very good. Well, Jonah, it's a joy to meet you. Congratulations.
Thank you. You too.
That's great work. So thank you to you, and thank you to Eleanor, and thanks, Mary, for coming in. Appreciate it very much. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more with our other winner, Casey Caneda, right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Yasmin Castellanos from the Catholic School Department, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back, everyone. We have two great winners from the National Athletic Academic Decathlon. I can't even pronounce it, no, let's spell it. We're now joined by Casey Caneda, who's from Sacred Heart Parish School right here in Sacramento. Casey, good to have you with us. Come a little closer there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. And we also have your coach, Sarah Ross. Sarah, hi. Steal that microphone for a minute.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming. Why don't you keep it for a minute, Sarah? Tell us a little bit about just coaching the academic decathlon. What kind of prep, what goes into it?
Well, these kids are working very hard, and our school starts, I'm sure a lot of the other schools do, but we start in October preparing for the logic test. November, we start working on our individual events, and we start working on our super quiz events in November as well. And they've been they spend I mean, countless hours. I don't even know if we can put a number to it of how hard they work in between classes, after school, on the weekends. I hear a lot of studying in the car and, you know, if they're traveling somewhere. So they're putting in a lot of hours just studying the material, doing practice tests and working with each other to really make sure they know things.
So do you schedule a class time for this as well, or is it an extracurricular? How does that work?
At our school, it's an extracurricular activity, and so we usually meet twice a week at lunchtime and then once a week after school.
And how much, you know, all these different categories of the competition, literature, fine arts, English, math, religion, science, social studies, etc., did they give you, I don't know if cheat sheets is the right term, but did they give you sort of a area to go to? This is what the kinds of questions that are going to be on this?
Sure, yes. So each individual event usually highlights a book or a topic to really kind of focus in what they're learning. Current events, they give us events or news articles that happen throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And so each month we're adding 5 or 6 different news articles that the students are studying and reading up on. And then something like mathematics there, it's kind of based on the standards and things that they're learning in 7th and 8th grade math.
Is it hard to find kids to fit each category?
You definitely want to work with a student's, you know, interest.
See where their strengths are.
Yeah, and working with their strengths, you know. So if someone that doesn't care for math or doesn't care for social studies or what have you, they're probably not going to want to spend a lot. They, like I said, they spend a lot of time with this material. So someone that really has a natural inclination for it or a desire to learn about it is really going to be helpful.
What sort of questions do they ask in current events? There's so much going on in the world.
Yeah, so they, I think that they have a really wide range of things that they ask. I think sometimes they're, some of the articles are political, sometimes they're scientific, sometimes they're just cultural things that are happening around the world. Casey probably knows more about the articles than I do. from all over the place. Sometimes they're U.S.-based, sometimes they're international, just a little bit of everything, I feel like.
Wow. So what was your biggest challenge?
I think just time. You know, I feel like a lot of the students that are on the team, they really want to do really well. And so they want to spend as much time as they can prepping for these tests. And because they're usually really driven students, they want to work really hard, and helping them find that balance of time between their other extracurriculars, their other schoolwork, and just making them feel, empowered and that they can do all of this, but also having that balance of you're just a kid too. Like, have some fun too.
Sure. Casey, why don't you take the mic here? Pull up a little bit closer. There you go. Tell us about the regional competition first. That was at St. Francis, right?
It was good.
Is this your first year doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in eighth grade?
Yeah.
So was it nerve-wracking having a big crowd there?
Not really.
And what's your subject?
Current events.
Current events. There you go. So what sorts of questions did they ask you?
Just about science, what's going on.
How did you prepare?
I read every single article, and I took every little detail and I put them into flashcards.
Oh, good. So they gave you how many topics for current events, or how many were the articles they sent you?
Yeah, it was like over 100.
Over 100. Were they like newspaper articles or?
They were online, but there was a lot of information, and there were videos in them, and I had to annotate every single one.
Wow. Were there some that weren't very interesting to you?
Yeah, but I still did them anyway.
Yeah, and did some of them come up on the test?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what did you get, like, all of them right, or did you have ones that you just knew were wrong?
I was confident in all of them.
And did you get them all right, or do you know?
I don't know.
There you go. So at the national competition, how was the national different other than that it was on Zoom?
It wasn't really different. The questions were almost the same.
Were you nervous at all?
No.
Were you surprised that you won?
I was hoping for at least third place, so I think I was a little surprised.
First in the whole country, that's hard to top. That's just mind. Did they have like an award ceremony?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did they do that on Zoom?
They had a presentation.
Yeah. Did they send you something in the mail, like a trophy or?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing it around Jonah's neck there. A giant medal. Hold that up. Oh, that's great. Hold it so the camera can see you at home. It's radio. I'm glad you fell for it, though. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your favorite subject in school?
I would say history.
History? Like what sort of history?
It's anything. I like learning about events and stuff like that.
Like long ago history, like the Big Bang or American history?
Everything.
Everything. Wow. In all the years I've done this, and we've had winners every year, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say history was their favorite. That's very good. It's my favorite, too, really. I think history is just fascinating. In fact, I wish now, with all the world events going on, that I had paid more attention in college, especially, and taken some courses specifically about the Middle East, you know, to really have a better understanding. So have you picked a high school yet?
Yeah.
Did you know what you want to share? Which one?
It's a good high school.
A good high school. Well, that's all you need to say. That's great. So what about extracurricular stuff that you're involved in?
I do weightlifting.
Oh, really? Wow. Is that competitive, or is that just something you do?
It's something I do.
Yeah. You can do it competitive. Is that anything you're interested in?
Maybe sometime in the future.
So do you go to a gym to do that, or do you do it at home?
I do at home.
Wow. I haven't heard that answer before either. Have you picked a college yet?
I'm working towards college credit, but...
Are you already?
No, freshman year.
Oh, freshman year, yeah. Do you have a specific college in mind?
Not yet.
Have you thought about, like, what you might want to major in, or what you might want to do with your life?
There's a few things, but yeah, I'm still open to a new thing or whatever.
I'd say you're young enough to still have it all be open. Well, thanks and congratulations. That's very good. And Sarah, thanks so much to you for all you've done.
Oh, thank you for having us.
This was I'm always overwhelmed with the kids we get in here. So Jonah and Casey, thanks so much. Congratulations, being the best in the country. That's really, and I know it had to do with being very smart, but it also had to do with your parents. It had to do with how much hard work you put in, your teachers, your coaches, your principals, everybody. It has to do with a lot, but it's wonderful to have both of you here. Thanks so much. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour. Oh, yeah, I'm being reminded, when we come back, we will bring you an interview with Jane Smith, who is the former head of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, former national head of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. We had a chance to sit down with Deacon Jane the other day, and we're going to bring you that interview right after this break. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town, and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento, who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission, and also to support the diocese, and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. So the easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org. Rejoicing to welcome in Deacon Gene Smith, who is a member of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul for the last 65 years, including serving as national president from 1999 to 2005. Deacon Gene, good to hear your voice. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. You're currently a deacon and a member of the St. Raphael Conference in San Rafael.
That is correct. I'm a deacon in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, and in the Council of, or the Marine Parishes are part of the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And you're right, I am with at the parish of St. Raphael's.
Yeah, so it's St. Raphael, but we call it San Rafael. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Well, when the Franciscans started the first mission here,
right?
It was named San Rafael,
right?
And then I think the city founders came up with a version of Saint Raphael and call it San Rafael. So right. I don't know the reason why all of that, but it is what it is.
Well, I'll tell you, when I think when God created Marin County and then he rested, the beautiful hills there and the coast, it's just gorgeous in Marin County.
It is. It sure is. I used to live in Daly City, which is south of San Francisco, right, along the coast. And Daly City, in an area called the Westlake area, right, is the foggiest place in the world.
You know, it's really interesting you say that. My aunt and uncle, my mom's sister, they lived in Daly City. We lived in Davis. And, you know, Thanksgiving, they'd come up to our house. Christmas, we'd go down to their house and visit all our cousins and everything. And they were in the newer division of Westlake. And
They were on
Dorchester Drive. And,
oh, my goodness gracious.
And
I know it well.
Yeah, and I remember it well, 5 Dorchester Drive. And I don't ever remember going there. Probably went there 50 times in my childhood, and it was always foggy.
Foggy, that's right.
It could
there
be July.
There were summers when I never saw the sun, yeah. Anyway, one day I convinced my wife to move to San Rafael, and it's been a blessing. It's a great parish, and it was there that I was asked by the pastor to consider being a deacon. So I'm blessed in a very special way to have moved here, yeah.
And so you've been a deacon for 18 years?
I have, exactly, yeah.
Wow, so
going on in June, it'll be 19, yes. Right.
Oh, wow. And the diaconate, some people realize and some people don't, you are ordained as a deacon, and there's a long preparation for that.
That's right. It was 5 years for us. We had a great class, but we went every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock until 3, except during the summer months. But all the rest of the time, every Saturday morning, to study.
Now, was that in Marin County or in San Francisco?
No, that was in the Archdiocese of San Francisco at the seminary at St. Joseph's Seminary,
okay,
down in. Oh, it's in the Menlo Park area.
Okay. Not St. Patrick's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I said St. Joseph. Used to be St. That was St. Patrick's.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
Forgive me.
Yeah, that's Menlo Park. That's quite a ride from Marin County.
Oh, it sure was, yes. But it was great.
Especially if there's a Giants game or a Raiders game or a 49ers game. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's really... What has the diaconate meant to you?
The diaconate has changed my life. I used to go to church on a regular basis with my family. I never missed Mass, and I lived a decent Christian life. And even when I was a member of the society in those days, too, younger days, but the diaconate forced me to reflect on the gospel regularly because of homilies. You can't give a homily if you don't get steeped in the Gospels. So there was a blessing to me to be just to encourage me, obviously, to read the Gospels, and so and to believe what I read, and then to practice it, and then to give it away to others. So I wouldn't trade that. It to me, it's there's two things in my life. Well, actually, three. I guess my marriage is number one. Then the diaconate has been a great blessing in terms of, I believe, my ticket to heaven. And the third is the St. Vincent de Paul Society, serving Jesus in those people that are poor all around us.
That's wonderful. That's really, you know, I'm a writer as well. I write for a newspaper. But I can imagine if I had to write a homily and then deliver the homily, well, you would really have to get into the Gospels, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't preach without being steeped in the Gospels. So that's been the blessing. I thank the priest that encouraged me to become a deacon. I thank him every time I see him, yeah.
There isn't some artificial intelligence called Gospels or our homilies or us or anything you could subscribe to?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm up in years, so I'm not into all the latest artificial intelligence. But I don't know of anything other than getting into it concentrating on it, reflecting on it, and then giving it away. That's what I've been doing now for the last 18 years. So,
well, looking at my grades in college, I could use a little artificial intelligence.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Was it difficult to write a homily and then to deliver it? I mean, there's a big difference between writing and then speaking in front of a large group.
Yeah. Well, for me, I've been blessed in so many ways. When I got involved with St. Vincent de Paul, gradually I was asked to take on more responsibility, and that included speaking before groups. And so I became much more comfortable. And then in my work life too, I did a lot of public speaking, fundraising and stuff like that. So that part was relatively okay with me. But to really grasp the notion of a grain of something so important that you wanted to share that, and then to build a story around it to give it away. That's what it's not easy. You have to really work on it.
Yeah. So they never gave you the hook, right?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'll bet there's many in the pews that would say that would be happy to hear you say that, but not, they haven't given me the hook yet. A lot of people will give me a bad time after Mass, and they'll say, well, you talked a wee bit too long today, or something to that effect, you know. So, but I try. We had a homiletic professor that encouraged us to focus on 3-minute homilies.
Oh, wow.
And that's been my task. And so, obviously, if you go to 4 or 5, that's not too much overboard. But he focused on the 3 so that we wouldn't do 8 or 9 minutes, you know. So he was a blessing, too.
Yeah, I know sometimes I've emceed events, and maybe there's 5 or 6 or 7 speakers I'm going to introduce, and the organizers have said, well, they're only going to speak for 3 minutes. And I said, oh, no, yeah. No, nobody can, you can't even introduce somebody in 3 minutes. You know, that's really, really tough. What was your profession?
Well, I started out as a social worker. I have a master's in social work, and I went to work after the city and county of San Francisco, and then I was hired by the Daughters of Charity to be the director of social service for their hospital in Daly City, Seton Medical Center.
Very good.
So I was a social work administrator. Oh, no, I went there as a social worker, and then they promoted me to being the director of the social service department. And then later, they asked me to do fundraising for them to raise money here in the States to develop clinics and water wells and all kinds of needed entities in developing countries where their Daughters of Charity were working throughout Africa and Latin America and Southeast Asia. So I became a fundraiser after being a social worker. I started out as a plain old, good old social worker, serving people and doing the best I could, you know.
And you went to the University of San Francisco.
I did. I went to USF, and then I got a master's degree from San Francisco State. It's right next to Westlake, so it was
sure
an easy commute, and the price was right for me as well. So that all worked out, yeah.
Yeah. Were you,
and then later I got an MBA from State as well, but that's all history now, yeah.
Were you at USF when the great Bill Russell was playing there?
Oh, not quite. He was a little bit before me, but I was a kid, and I got to see him play like when I was 9 or 10 years old. So it was a joy to see him play. Russell and Casey Jones. That's right. Got it. Yeah, I remember those guys.
I remember all of them too.
It was good.
Remarkable to see how good they were, and what you know, what gentlemen they all were. It was a different sport then. Yeah. It wasn't all
absolutely
in your face and I'm better than you are. It was just, you know, they were true sportsmen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I should tell people that Deacon Jin Smith is going to be the keynote speaker at the 18th annual Benefit for the Poor, the dinner held annually for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, Friday, April 26th at the Doubletree at Arden. It is always a great event. I wouldn't miss it. It's a wonderful dinner, a wonderful program. It's very pulls at your heart, and it also is a lot of fun. So, and you have a chance even to win a trip to Hawaii. I don't know if the keynote speaker can buy a raffle ticket or not.
Very good.
Deacon, tell us about how you got involved. You've been a member of the society for 65 years. You must have started in kindergarten.
Well, I think actually it's 55. If it's written there as 65, I think that's a typo.
Okay.
It's more like 55, but it's still a long time.
It's a good long time.
Involved was a good friend of mine that was a social worker in the same organization where I was with the city and county of San Francisco. One day he said to me, you know, you should consider joining the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And I said, well, what is the St. Vincent de Paul? All I knew about the St. Vincent de Paul Society was that they had thrift stores.
Right.
And I didn't want anything to do with a thrift store. But he convinced me to go to a conference meeting, which is the smallest gathering, like in a parish
in a
group.
Parish, yeah.
Members of the society meet, and it's called a conference. And so I was hooked after I went to the first meeting. We prayed together. We reflected on the Gospels. And then we talked about the needs of people that have been referred to us. And so I was able to do that and to do it twice a month or even more. We would have these meetings. And it was like a great friendship that formed amongst us. And we served the Lord in that way. So it was great.
Which
and
parish was
gradually,
that?
Gradually, that's how I got involved. Mm-hmm. Gradually, I became the president of the conference, elected by the members, and then the presidents of each conference serve on the local council.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a member of the Council of San Mateo at that time.
Okay.
And that made me, as a president, I had to go to national meetings in St. Louis and other places. And then the next thing you know, I was on different committees and so on and so forth. And then I was asked to be the national vice president. And then after that, I'm rambling on, but that's the history. After that, they asked me to be president, and so I was elected, and I served 6 years as national president. So that's the history.
Should we play Hail to the Chief when you're introduced at the dinner?
No, that's all behind us, and now I am a diehard member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society in my conference at St. Raphael Church. We have a great conference, men and women, multicultural. We pray together, we reflect on the Gospels, and we serve the people in our community. And even though it's San Rafael, we got plenty of people here, especially the immigrant community, that we serve, and we do the very best we can for them and with them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's interesting. We have places in California where people think of San Rafael area,
yes,
being one, and Palm Springs, yeah, and all these places.
You're absolutely
they're
right.
Always,
yes,
the,
yes,
people that are in need.
Yeah, in Marin, we have many people in need. Yes.
Yeah,
but we're blessed because we have good Catholic Christians that live the gospel, and we all do our part to try and help. So.
What are the biggest challenges you as a society have in Marin?
Well, lately it's been raising more and more money because we have more and more need.
Mm-hmm.
The members of our parish have supported us big time for years and years and years. They're so generous. And the pastors we've had here have been adamantly in favor and supportive. And so that's all been good. But all of a sudden, because of COVID, we really got ourselves into a bind financially. We were just getting by. So it's a challenge to keep the monies flowing in. And we're able to do it, but we don't. Like right now, I would say we might have somewhere about $15,000 in our resources, whereas in the past, we'd have $50,000,
uh-huh,
and we could. We use that wisely and well, but it's a bit of a challenge now because of there's so many people in need.
Did you have to shut down entirely, stop seeing people during COVID?
Well, we did. Yeah, we did stop seeing people. You know, St. Vincent de Paul traditionally We make home visits. We go in twos to visit the people that we serve. And because of COVID, we were not able to go to their homes and visit them in their homes. But, so we did telephone home visits, we call it. And on occasion, we would go and keep a distance. But generally, we did telephone home visits. And we get, that got us through. But now we're back to making regular home visits. My wife and I make home visits regularly, and so that's what we've been doing. Yeah.
So describe the kinds of things St. Vincent de Paul is able to do for people. Maybe a lot of listeners aren't quite sure what kind of help you do provide. And like you say, I think it's just a beautiful model that you go out in twos, and you. Not only do you go out in twos, you go to their homes.
Absolutely. Well, the main request we're getting lately is help with rent assistance. Many of the families we visit are two and three families living in an apartment together in an area of San Rafael called the Canal area. Mm-hmm. Many of those families are two and three families. Some of them are working. Some can't find work regularly. So they all need help with rent assistance. So we might, generally, we're able to give a family $500 toward rent. Or if it's a single person that comes to us because they need help in getting tickets for bus or to a job or gas money or something like that, we can give a couple hundred. But generally, lately, we've been given about $500 per family to help with rent assistance. And then what happens is we make the visit, then we come back to our conference meeting and we share with the group what it is the family needs. We clarify everything, and then we vote together. Okay, let's help this family with $500, or sometimes more. It all depends on the situation, and it's all flexible based on the specific need.
Wow.
So that's just kind of an overview, but it's and the money that we get primarily, like I said before, comes from parishioners. So it's a challenge because oftentimes some people will say, well, if people are given to St. Vincent de Paul, they're not given to their parish. But, you know, as a fundraiser, I know so well that people give to more than one cause, more than one activity or need. People will give wherever they see the need. And we do our very best to be visible in our parish community. So not to boast or brag about what we do, but we want people to know that we're there and what we do. And we have about 18 active members, and we have some what we call associate members that pray at home for us or make telephone calls for us, but they don't make home visits. So anyway, I'm rambling on here. So
no, I wanted to hear all about that. Tell us a little bit about when you were president of the society. What did that involve other than going to St. Louis?
When I became president of the society in the United States, one of the things that we were lacking, I believe, or at least falling down a bit on was our spirituality. From the very beginning, the conference has been focused on men and women coming together to pray together, to reflect on the Gospels together, and to serve. Well, somehow, before then, we started kind of cutting corners, and we got away from our spirituality, and we got away from the whole idea of focusing on the Gospels. And so my challenge and my hope was, and my focus was on trying to bring back what we call Vincentian spirituality. And that is basically to see Jesus Christ in everyone and to serve him well, and never to cut back on our prayer and on our reflection of the Gospel. So we put together an effort throughout the country to focus on this spirituality. We came up with new booklets and new manuals and all kinds of things, and we had meetings and all focused all around the country. And I believe, and I didn't do this myself, all I did was kind of lead the effort. But we had great people working throughout the country, and I believe now that our spirituality focus is number one, And serving is number two, but important, but not overshadowing the spirituality. So,
very good.
Anyway,
well, that is just so good to hear. And everybody up here in Sacramento we're looking forward to you coming here next month, April the 26th, at the DoubleTree at Arden. People, if you want to buy a ticket, go to, and all the proceeds of this go to all the great works of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Go to svdp-sacramento.org, or you can call Denise O'Brien at 279-345-2362. And if you want to buy a ticket, you can to the Hawaiian raffle. They will be selling tickets at the event. Or maybe you
Very
can
good.
Find a Vincentian after Mass, and they will have some tickets as well.
That is so good of you.
Well,
you know, the theme this year that they've selected is seeing God's blessing.
Yes.
I can't think of a better theme for this meeting. So I'm going to preach, or maybe not preach, but I'm going to talk about seeing God's blessings in the work that they do and in the work that all of the supporters do. And how important that is. So that my focus is going to be like on the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price. It's the poor. It's the people that are poor that we're able to serve and seeing God's blessings in them, because in that we're able to lift ourselves up and live our faith. So I'm going to do something along those lines. But I love their theme, seeing God's blessings.
Well, Deacon, I'm sure you are just going to do a bang-up job. Everybody's looking forward to that, and we certainly appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing about a month from now. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much. That's Deacon Gene Smith, who is the former president of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, the national president from 1999 to 2005. He's been a member of the society for 55 years, and he will be the keynote speaker at the annual benefit for the poor Friday, April 26, starting at 5:30 p.m. at the DoubleTree at Arden. My good friend Walt Gray will be the master of ceremonies, and also there are other awards that will be presented. The Clegg family will get the SVDP Benefactor Award. And, of course, you'll get to meet Joe Elves, the president of the Sacramento Council of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover a picture, maybe it's, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure, and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento, Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With costs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. And once again, I say amen. And it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.